This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hey, Equity Mates, it's Ren here. It's Tuesday, the 26th of April, and we're bringing you a special bonus episode because big news broke this morning. Tesla, SpaceX, Neuralink, The Boring Company, 8kids. You'd think that Elon Musk is busy enough, but no. After about 3 months of buying shares and a month of back and forth with the Twitter board, Elon Musk has finalized a deal to buy Twitter and take it private. Now, a few of the key deal points. The value of the deal, $44 billion, translates to about $54.20 a share, or in Aussie dollars, we're talking about $61 billion to buy Twitter and take it private. We don't know what Elon is going to do with Twitter yet. Details have been pretty scarce, other than it will come off the stock exchange and be privately owned by Elon. There is a really interesting story in how Elon manages SpaceX's cap table, and they've really pioneered the ability for companies to stay private for longer. A number of other big Silicon Valley unicorns looked to SpaceX as they went on their private for longer journey. And so maybe he's going to replicate what he's done with SpaceX over at Twitter. We wait and see. We also wait and see what a new, more free speech focused Twitter is going to look like. Will Donald Trump be back on the platform? How will Twitter moderate or censor content? That all remains to be seen. We don't really know what day two in Twitter looks like here. We just know day one is Elon is buying the company. Over on The Dive, our latest podcast here at Equity Mates, we released an episode on Friday unpacking Elon and Twitter. We talked about the timeline, but more importantly, we focused on why Elon might want to buy Twitter. So given this news broke this morning, we thought it was a good time to share this episode with you here on the Equity Mates feed. If you enjoy it, we'd ask you to please go and listen to the other episodes on The Dive. We've got Bryce breaking down 15-minute grocery delivery. We've got Darcy talking about the business of the Olympics. We talk self-driving cars. We talk the investment in Oscar's campaigns. There's a lot of content there. And if you enjoy it, please give it a rating, give it a review. I know every podcaster asks this, but it really does help, especially in early days on a podcast journey. It helps them get in the charts. It helps them get in Spotify and Apple's recommendation engines. And it helps more people find the show. And the more people that find the show, the more content we can make. So really appreciate your support. We hope you enjoy this episode. And as always, any feedback is welcome. Any feedback on our new show, hit us up, thedive@equitymates.com. We'd love to hear it. All right, guys, big news. Elon Musk adding Twitter to his portfolio. Another company coming off the boards of the stock exchange. Here's our episode of The Dive, released before this news broke about Elon completing the deal, unpacking why he might be interested in this deal.
From Equity Mates Media, this is The Dive, and today we're talking about Elon Musk. I'm going to be honest, I don't remember when I learnt who Elon Musk was. He just kind of seemed to step out into my consciousness, like he's always been a famous person that I know about. Maybe it was when he was dating Amber Heard or Grimes, or when I had no idea how to pronounce his son's name.
It is spelled X-A-E-A-12.
Whether you consider Elon an eccentric, an unreliable leader, or an unrelenting champion of free speech, he has achieved an extraordinary amount. He's an entrepreneur, an investor, and currently the world's richest man. He's the founder and CEO of SpaceX and Tesla. He's the founder of The Boring Company and co-founder of Neuralink and OpenAI. And honestly, he makes so many headlines, we could do an episode just on him every 2 weeks.
And there's yet more Elon Musk news today. New development.
So when we read that he'd made an offer to buy Twitter, the social media company where he's amassed 83 million followers, we knew there'd be a story there. It's Friday, the 22nd of April, and today I want to know, why does Elon Musk want Twitter? And to find out, I'm joined by my colleague and the co-founder of Equity Mates, Alec Renahan. Alec, welcome to The Dive.
Hey, Sasha, glad to be here. We're going to do our best to unpack what's going on in Elon Musk's head.
I want you to catch me up on everything that's happened, because I've just kind of been skimming the headlines and the podcast titles. Can you explain to me, like I'm five, what's going on?
Elon Musk is trying to buy Twitter, and Twitter doesn't want to be bought.
That's it?
That's it.
That's going to be a very short episode of The Dive. I'm sure you've got more to say.
Well, look, Sasha, we've seen billionaires buy companies before. It isn't unheard of. Jeff Bezos famously bought the Washington Post for $250 million.
If you've got a casual $250 million, then I guess that might be what you spend it on. But I'm sure Elon's not going to be buying Twitter for $250 million.
No, Twitter will be a little bit more expensive than $250 million. You might get MySpace for $250 million. But look, at the end of the day, Elon is the world's wealthiest person. He's got a net worth of $270 billion. Twitter has a market value of about $35 billion. Elon's offering $46 billion. Like, he can do it.
It's obviously still a lot of money.
You don't necessarily want to pay out 40 or whatever it is billion dollars in cash.
I mean, I could technically afford it.
I heard that.
It is a lot of money, but like so many millionaires and billionaires before him, he saw it as something he wanted. And he decided to buy it.
Wouldn't it be nice? But as you said, when you explained it to me, like I'm five, Twitter doesn't want to be bought. So it's not that simple, is it? And I know that there's a bit of a timeline stretching in front of us. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a challenge today. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so what I want you to do is give me the timeline to today, the 22nd of April, and I'm going to give you 90 seconds to do it.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I have a habit of waffling, so this is a real challenge for me, Sasha.
All right. Ready, set, go.
So in January, Elon starts buying shares. By March, he owns more than 5% of the company. He's meant to tell the SEC. He doesn't for a while. He keeps buying. He's tweeting about Twitter not respecting free speech. In early April, 10 days later than he was meant to, using the wrong form, Elon submits to the SEC that he owns 9.2% of Twitter. He's the largest shareholder of Twitter. That day, the share price jumps 27%. Twitter initially welcomed his interest. He was invited on the board. Elon keeps tweeting at this time, do you want an edit button? Should we turn their offices into a homeless shelter? He's stirring up a little bit. He then rejects the board seat and things start to get adversarial. Elon keeps tweeting at this time. He offers to buy all of Twitter at $54.20 a share. 420 and number that Elon loves to include, so probably not a coincidence there. Twitter implements a poison pill. Elon keeps tweeting and tweeting, and then we get to yesterday where Elon submits a document to the US regulators that he's going to submit a tender offer, basically give shareholders a chance to sell their shares to him, and that he's got backing from Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, and Barclays, as well as committing $21 billion of his own money. That's where we're at, Sasha. It is on. Elon's trying to buy Twitter. Twitter don't want to be bought.
Alec, you did it with 5 seconds to spare. That's 125.
Trick is cutting out a lot of details.
All right. There were a couple of things that I heard that were really amazing to me. First of all, the richest man in the world, one of the smartest men in the world, uses the wrong form for the SEC.
Yeah, Sasha, I don't think it was a mistake. I think Elon loves trolling people and trolled the SEC there.
I want to be clear. I do not respect the SEC. I do not respect them.
That one we're going to chalk up to a, is he trolling? Is it a mistake? No one knows. The other aspect I wanted to dig into is this idea of a poison pill.
The social media giant now fending off Musk's $43 billion bid to buy Twitter with a business maneuver nicknamed a poison pill.
Because I keep seeing this word in headlines, and I'm going to be honest here. I've been working at Equity Mates for a while. I have no idea what a poison pill is, so can you explain it to me?
Until Equity Mates starts doing hostile takeovers of public companies, poison pills isn't something that you would really be familiar with.
Carl Icahn is a name that is liable to strike terror into the minds of any CEO. The latest that he's going after is Netflix, where he's taken a 10% stake, but the CEO, Reed Hastings, is not taking this lying down.
It's really a strategy used by a company to prevent them being taken over.
Tell us a little bit what's happening, because of course there's a poison pill involved here.
Right, I think we should probably all settle down.
There are a variety of different poison pills. It's kind of a catch-all term for a number of different strategies, but basically the idea is to increase the number of shares, which dilutes the person or the company that's trying to take you over and makes it harder for them to get the votes needed to actually take you over.
This morning he called up Reed Hastings, the CEO, as you mentioned, of Netflix, and kind of said, hey, I'm about to come out and say your shares are undervalued and Netflix should be sold to a larger company.
So let's use an example. Let's say we owned the Dive LLC. And some billionaire sees the opportunity here and starts buying shares, wanting to take us over. You and I could create a poison pill that says, if anyone buys more than 10% of the Dive LLC, the two of us get to buy more and more shares at a discounted rate. And that way, we stop the billionaire ever getting a majority of the Dive LLC and taking us over.
So I've got a really weird analogy that I think is helping me get an idea of this, Alec. Is it a bit like when you make cordial and it's too strong, so you have to top it up with some water at the end to just like dilute the flavor?
Sasha, if that helps you understand a poison pill, then that is exactly what it's like.
Okay, great. And this is kind of what Twitter's done.
Yeah, this is exactly what Twitter's done. Elon has 9.2% of shares currently, and Twitter made the rule that if any shareholder gets more than 15% of the company in a purchase that's not approved by the board, other shareholders will get the right to buy more shares at a discount. So basically think someone needs to get 50% of shares to have a majority. And if I keep issuing shares and don't let you buy any more, you're going to struggle to get to 50%. They've given themselves a year. So the poison pill rule expires after a year. But no one really expects Elon to wait them out. He doesn't strike me as a patient person.
I mean, you just have to look at his Twitter feed to understand he's not a patient person. So what would you and I think about a poison pill being used if we happen to be Twitter shareholders?
I think where we've got to start, Sasha, is some of the shareholders will like the activist. They'll agree with Carl Icahn's plan for Netflix or Elon Musk's plan for Twitter. So those shareholders don't love the poison pill. But even those that don't like what Elon's doing, a poison pill can hurt a company's overall value and dilute the shareholder's stake in the company, or even sometimes affect shareholder rights. It's often seen as the insiders of the company, the board and the management, protecting themselves, often at the expense of outside shareholders. Those outside shareholders might be Elon Musk, but they might also be you and I.
It feels kind of manipulative in a way.
Yeah, if I was to be really cynical, Sasha, I would say that even though the board is meant to work for shareholders, interests and incentives are not totally aligned sometimes. And in this case, shareholders just want the best return for their shares. They want to make money. That's why you own the shares. But board members, they want to make money on their shares, but they also don't want to lose their jobs. And if Elon takes over Twitter, you can guarantee that those board members are losing their jobs.
Poison pills, space billionaires. Honestly, what you've just described to me sounds like an episode of Succession.
I will not let go of what is mine!
So exciting and made for TV. The big question is why? Elon's a busy man. He's getting humans into space. He's building an electric car industry. He's digging holes in the ground, putting computer chips in our brain. And he has 8 kids. Is that not enough to keep one man busy? Let's find out after the break.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to The Dive. I'm joined by my colleague Alec Renahan, and we are talking about Elon's efforts to add even more to his pretty busy and tight schedule.
Look, I know I sometimes say or post strange things, but that's just how my brain works. I reinvented electric cars, and I'm sending people to Mars in a rocket ship.
Alec, why? Is Twitter even worth this amount of effort?
Well, Sasha, there's a reason that Elon is giving, and then there's another reason that I have.
I love your rabbit hole conspiracy theories, but let's start with the reason that Elon's giving, and then I'll give you some time to air your ideas later.
We'll save the best till last, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Sasha, let's establish what it's not about. It's not about money.
What I'm saying is this is not a way to sort of make money.
Twitter is notorious for losing money year after year. Mark Zuckerberg has one of my favorite quotes about Twitter. Twitter is such a mess. It's as if they drove a clown car into a gold mine and fell in. And Zuckerberg has a point. Since Facebook, well, now Meta, listed in 2012, they have 5x'd their investors' money. $1 has turned into $5. But before their last 6 months, which have been pretty tough for Mark Zuckerberg's company, they had turned $1 of investor money into $10. A great return, a very impressive social media company. On the other hand, Twitter, it's barely above the price it listed at back in 2013. And before Elon's interest drove the share price up, Twitter shareholders that had held on from 2013 were actually down 20%. So Twitter hasn't had a great financial return for shareholders, but also it's not profitable. In 2020, it made a loss of over $1 billion. And in 2021, it did a bit better, but it still lost over $200 million.
That's amazing to me. I know there's lots of tech stocks that focus on growth rather than profitability, but for something that is so addictive and really drives the news cycle now, it's amazing to me that it doesn't make money or that they haven't worked out a way to make it make money.
We talk about losing money while growing. Twitter was founded in 2006. It's pretty big. At some point, it's got to turn a profit. But look, it does make money. It makes revenue mainly from advertising, about 85% of the money from advertising. Last year, it brought in about $5 billion and they lost $200 million on that. The year before, they brought in about $3.7 billion in revenue, again, mostly from advertising, and lost $1 billion on that. So they bring in some money from advertising, but they spend more throughout the year, so they're not profitable. And you might think $5 billion in revenue is a lot of money. Well, Sasha, that's nothing compared to Facebook's $120 billion in revenue a year. So we often think about social media platforms and we think about Facebook and Twitter in the same breath. But as businesses, they couldn't be more different.
It sounds like there's an opportunity there. If Meta is making that much money, then there's got to be a way to make Twitter make more.
Yeah, and maybe Elon has the keys to unlock Twitter's value. But that isn't the reason that he's giving. What he has said he's focused on is free speech.
He is on a free speech mission, it seems.
Elon thinks Twitter isn't doing enough to protect free speech and wants to change that.
It's important to the function of democracy. It's important to the function of...
And Elon's been outspoken about Twitter's regulation and policies, how they deplatform certain users and how they censor or moderate certain tweets.
I think it's a civilizational risk is decreased if Twitter, the more we can increase the trust of Twitter as a public platform.
And look, Sasha, there is a whole separate episode, or probably a whole separate podcast series we could do on what an unmoderated internet would actually look like. But let's not get too deep into how a free speech focused, free for all Twitter would look practically. As an ideal, Elon says he wants Twitter to do better with free speech, to be the public town square of our modern age, and he has the wealth to try and make that happen.
Twitter is a war zone. If somebody's going to jump in the war zone, it's like, okay, you're in the arena. Let's go.
All right. We put it on the back burner, but now, Alec, I want to hear your conspiracy theory.
Okay, Sasha, I have been waiting for this. I think the starting point is Elon, more than anyone, knows the value of Twitter. He's one of Twitter's most prominent users. He's got almost 83 million followers, which is the eighth highest overall following. Or you could say Elon is seventh if you don't count Donald Trump, who was booted off the platform after amassing 90 million followers. And Elon has used his Twitter following to build his businesses.
I use my tweets to express myself. Some people use their hair.
Tesla has a marketing budget of $0. They let their cars do the talking, their cars and their walking PR machine of a CEO. SpaceX, Neuralink, the Boring Company, Tesla. Elon doesn't spend on marketing. Instead, he relies on the PR machine to get his publicity. And the front line of that PR machine is the place where every journalist in the world hangs out, Twitter. Twitter itself may only be worth $35 billion, but it has generated value in many, many multiples of that. It has made Elon Musk his $270 billion fortune. It has made Donald Trump's presidency. And if we look a little bit further back in history, it was a key driver behind the 2012 Arab Spring. Those three events you probably wouldn't group together, but Twitter is the thing that binds them together. Twitter has been the rocket fuel for them all. It is a really powerful platform, even if it can't turn a profit. So for Elon, as someone who has been so close to it and has benefited so much from it, it wouldn't surprise me if Elon has an angle here that we aren't seeing. I don't think we should be surprised if, in hindsight, this was about something other than free speech.
Why make that offer?
Was there a question?
When you said conspiracy theory, I was imagining something that was a bit bigger than that. That sounds really well-reasoned and thought out to me. So I'm with you. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, Sasha, it's week one of the dive. We're trying to build our audience here. I'm saving my really spicy takes for a couple of weeks at least.
Okay, I look forward to hearing those then. All right, Alec. Crystal ball time. Who owns Twitter at the end of all this? And if it is Musk, what does Twitter look like in the future?
Big question, Sasha. We're getting to the end of the time, so I don't think I can answer that today. No, look, I think anyone who says they have an answer for you is full of it. Like, no one knows how it is going to play out from here. I would say on the balance of probabilities, no one buys Twitter. A study from Minter Ellison found that between 2015 and 2017, there were 46 hostile takeover bids for Australian publicly listed companies that were successful 37% of the time. Over in the US, a separate study looked at tech companies between 97 and 2002 and found that 44% of hostile takeover attempts were successful. So these hostile takeover attempts are successful less than 50% of the time. But it's Elon Musk with his track record, with everything he's done. How could we doubt him? And honestly, part of me hopes that he does, just for the content, if nothing else.
It's all about the content at the end of the day, isn't it? Look, I think it'll be a really interesting story, if nothing else. So why don't we leave it there for today? Before I say goodbye, though, I do want to just say a huge thank you to you for joining us this week. Launching a show is a huge undertaking, and I personally am so proud of the work the team has put together, putting this show together this week. We've got huge ambitions for The Dive, but we really actually need you to help us. And the good news is it's something really simple and it's completely free and it'll take 2 minutes of your time. It's just to give us a review. If you could pull your phone out of your pocket right now, click 5 stars, what it helps us do is climb the charts and get more promotion. And that's what we need as a small independent media company. If you've already done this, thank you. You can rest easy. You've done your job. Just go tell someone some crazy facts about Elon and tell them that The Dive was the one that got you up to speed. If there's a story you want us to talk about, contact us at thedive@equitymates.com or shoot us a message on social media. We'll be back in your feed on Monday. Alec, thanks so much for joining me for today's edition of The Dive.
Thanks, Sasha.
Until next time.
The Dive is a product of Equity Mates Media. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media and the hosts of The Dive acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. The hosts of The Dive are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. Do not take financial advice from a podcast.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.